Welcome to Loco, a weekly conversation celebrating the stories of unconventional yet phenomenal single women expats. Today, I speak with Tanisha Townsend, the woman behind and your expert guide at Girl Meets Glass. Tanisha, thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate you showing up.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
So am I. You're quite welcome. So introduce yourself and tell me a bit about you, where you're from.
I'm Tanisha, Girl Meets Glass. When I meet all glasses, wine, beer, cocktail, coffee, tea, all of that. I am from Chicago originally, but I currently live in Paris, France, living out my dream of being a world-renowned beverage expert.
Okay. That's quite an entrance. I like that. Okay. So you're in Paris.
I am, yes.
Tell me a bit about what inspired your move.
I had always thought about living abroad. Like, it was just something that popped into my head. And for whatever reason, it just stuck. Like, it never left. I never moved away from it. It was just a thing. I had been to Paris to visit a few times and always thought it was an amazing place. I just felt something whenever I was here. So long story, much, much shorter. I was called by a colleague who said, hey, I remember you saying you were interested in living abroad. There's a position open at my school for a guest lecturer. You think you'd be interested? And so I was like, okay, I will see you next week. I'm packing my bag. Let's go. It wasn't in a week, but a few months later, I packed my suitcase and I moved on to Paris. To teach the class was wine and spirits. I was guest lecturing for a luxury wine and spirits course and then a European wines course.
Okay, wait a minute. So let me pause for a moment. You were offered this class. Was it something about Paris specifically that drew you, or was it just the opportunity to teach the class and you landed in Paris?
Paris always was a draw for me for whatever reason. Like, I can't put my finger on why it was Paris. I visited several times and I just felt something when I was here. So then when the opportunity came up to move to Paris, everything, like, I felt like the stars were all aligning. Everything was falling into place. I didn't have anything holding me back. I had just been laid off from work, broke up with my boyfriend. We had broken up a few months prior to that. Like, I didn't have any children, you know, don't have any children. So there was nothing stopping me from going. And I wasn't scared. And at that point, you know, I was kind of feeling like a little lost in life and not sure what to do at that point anyway. So when this came up, it was like, all right, you literally are doing nothing else. If this doesn't work, you can come back. It's 3 months.
Okay, so let me ask, as you know, the premise of the show is to talk to women who they've taken a leap to move countries to the place that resonates as their soul's home. And when I hear you say, there was something about Paris that you felt. Would you say how long have you been there first?
It'll be 4 years next month.
Okay. And would you say that it feels like home?
Oh, yeah. I love it here. And people ask, am I moving back to the States? I'm like, that doesn't sound appealing. Not right now.
So does it feel like your soul's home?
Yes. I feel very comfortable and now I'm starting to feel settled. I'm starting to feel like settled with everything, with the way it is here, kind of with the way they do things. I don't feel like it's always such a struggle, because expat life is like that kind of anywhere you go, just the struggle of being in another place. And, you know, I came here and didn't know the language and still am not fluent. So that's a whole nother conversation of that struggle. But I definitely feel like this is it. I'm comfortable here. I mean, I've been my best creative self here. I come up with ideas. I mean, you got the parks and the Eiffel, all the wine is here. I feel so at peace, so just here. I can be in the moment here. I'm not worried about trying to be somewhere else and do something. I'm here.
Wow. That's interesting, because I started the podcast because it's I start the podcast because that's my intention. And at one point, I thought Paris was it as well. And I wasn't sure why, but eventually I had to come back to the States. And I don't know if Paris is it anymore, but I'm still drawn to that part of the world. So I'm looking forward to experiencing that as well. And so do you know what the source of that feeling is for you there?
I think the source of it now might just be that it's working. Like, my soul was already, I already felt drawn to this place. But now that I'm here and things are working, I have opportunities here that I wouldn't have if I was in the States. I'm meeting people that I would have never met if I was in the States. I'm connecting more with people. I feel more comfortable with myself, and I've gotten to know myself, because this is the first time as an expat, if you're not going like with a boyfriend or a husband, anything like that, you have moments where you're just truly alone. It is just you. And so during that time, I have definitely been able to find me and discover me. So of course, this place will always be important to me just for that simple fact.
Okay, so let's talk about your legal status and how you are able to stay.
Yes, that is an important question, I mean, that people ask all the time. But my status is profesional liberal. And what that is, I am a liberal professional, is how it loosely translates. And I have the ability to live here and stay here, and I can work freelance. So I can legally work freelance here. So I can get assignments, get jobs, and they just pay me as our contract or whatever we agree stipulate.
Right.
And I have to renew it. Yeah, I have to renew it every year. So I'm hoping to get a new status this next time. But every year you just really try to figure it out. Like, how can I stay another year? What can I do? What other status can I have? Can I find a job? Can I find a job that will pay for my working visa? What can I do different, you know? Because that's usually what most people want, a salary position. Come here and get a salary position. That's very hard unless you're in tech. The people I know who are able to do that are in tech. That is a little easier for you. But if you're like in marketing or nursing, that's going to be a bit of a challenge.
Right. Okay, so you're doing freelance work, but...
Yes.
You're an entrepreneur.
Yes.
So tell me a bit about your business, the name of it, and what are you doing?
So the name of my business is Girl Meets Glass, and I do food and wine tours in the city. I also do day trips to Champagne. So tourists come in, they're like, oh, I'm interested in a food and wine experience. We pick the neighborhood. I tell them where to meet me. We go out, we have some wine at different wine bars. I give them a little background on the wine bars. We talk about French wine regions. I introduce them to some new wines, maybe rediscover some old favorites. If we have time, and then also depending on what wine shop or where we, what wine bar we are at, then I may help them. If it's a wine shop closed, I'll walk in the wine shop with them, explain the label, pick out some wines if they want to buy some wines to take back home with them. And then also, like a lot of people, when they first move to another country, I teach English also.
Okay. Are you doing that freelance or are you going through a company?
Yeah. It's freelance through a company. So I just bill them per student that I have per month.
Okay, cool.
And so there are ways. If you really want to do it and get here or somewhere, there are ways to make it happen.
How did you come to doing the tours? How did you come to Girl Meets Glass?
So Girl Meets Glass started as a blog, and that was something that I was writing before I even moved to Paris. So that was something that I just wrote just about what I drank and kind of what I did, because I was drinking all this wine and I wanted to talk about it. But once I moved to Paris and would meet people and talk about what I did, they had questions and like, oh, well, can you meet me at this wine shop? Or can you help me pick out this wine? Or what about this? And so I'm like, well, why don't I help people with that? So instead of doing tastings, which I figured, like, I didn't have anywhere to host them, I said, oh, I can do like a tour. We can go to a couple of different places and then they can taste some wine. I can give them this crash course in French wine and then we could go from there. And so that's what I did. So the tours are on my website. I'm also through Viator, and I also work with Context Travel, and I am a docent with them. So there are several ways you can get my tours.
Right. How'd you come to study wines?
That happened purely, I won't say accident, but when I was in grad school, it was hard. And so we would hang out and we would drink because we were like, oh, we just need to unwind. And I was living in D.C. at the time, and Maryland and Virginia both have wineries and a lot of them. So I started going to wine festivals, things like that, got really fascinated by it and started taking classes, then began to work for a guy who does wine marketing. And then the rest kind of just snowballed from there. Took classes, got certifications, started working in wine kind of on the side. I still had my regular 9-to-5. And then the rest is kind of history.
Right. So shall we talk about some of your favorites around Paris?
Okay.
What's your favorite place to have a bit of breakfast or brunch?
Favorite breakfast would have to be Holy Belly because they serve an actual breakfast. French breakfast is not real breakfast. French breakfast is a croissant, a coffee, and like a cigarette. So that's not my usual breakfast. But Holy Belly serves up eggs, pancakes, crispy bacon, hash brown. The coffee is delicious. So if you are looking for breakfast, go there. Go when they open or prepare to stand in line. But yeah, it's worth it.
Are you a coffee or a tea girl?
Coffee.
Okay, so your favorite place to get coffee?
Oh, one place that I love to get coffee. I might say it's a place called, it's in my old neighborhood in the 5th off of Notre Dame, Le Croix. And their coffee is good, and they have the draws. They have the most amazing pastries and desserts. Like, I mean, they're beautiful and delicious. And one of the ladies who owns it, she's American. Her husband is French. He's the chef. So it's cool to go in there and speak all of his English.
And would you say that this is your favorite place to people watch?
Oh, people watch. That's good at Craft off the Canal Saint-Martin. They are starting to get a better coffee culture here in Paris. The one thing I do wish they had, though, is a to-go coffee thing. So outside of Starbucks, they really don't do coffee to-go. And I don't always want to sit down to drink my coffee. Sometimes I just want to get a cup and a good cup of coffee and go where I have to go.
Perhaps you can get them to, you can carry your own, like your own tumbler, and anytime you're getting a coffee.
Yeah, that's a thing at some places. Yeah, that makes sense. And then I can, you know, or even if I order it, just pour it in my own thing from the cup.
Right, yeah, you can do that as well.
Like, I don't, yeah. They do the cute little latte art when I get my flat white or whatever, but that's not necessary for me. It's cute. I take a picture for the gram, and then I can move on.
Okay, so your favorite place for casual dining?
Oh, one place I do like that was in my old neighborhood that I would go to fairly regularly, it's called Step and Fig, so mushrooms and fig. And they have a nice price fix menu of the appetizer, entree, and dessert. So that place is pretty cool for casual.
And do you have a favorite place for upscale dining?
A couple. I really like Comme Chez Toi, which is in the Notre Dame area also. I like a steak place, Relais d'Entrecote. All they serve is steak frites. So you get steak, you just tell them how you want to prepare. They have this pepper sauce they put on it. I also like Canard and Champagne. What they serve is duck. You get an appetizer, entree, glass of champagne with that, one price together. So that's amazing. Get duck burger or duck breast or duck leg. Delicious.
Perfect. And your favorite dessert shop or bakery?
Ooh. One thing I will say that is very known around here is Bertillon, the ice cream. In the summer, oh, that line is long. So people stand in line for the ice cream at Bertillon. It is quite delicious. They have a salted caramel. Oh, amazing.
So now, I'm sure you know about these places. Your favorite wine or cocktail bars?
Favorite place to drink wine. I like Chez Nous, Le Vin Comme Toi, Freddy's, Vente à Vin, Barave. For cocktails, there is Little Red Door, Prescription Cocktail Club, Le Cinquième Sens, Tiger for gin and tonics. They have a house-made tonic, and then they have it's mainly gin, so they have about 8 different styles of gin and tonic that are just, I was trying to go through the whole list, but then I was like, Tanisha, this might not be how you want to spend your life. This might not be what you want to do with yourself. Well, another place for drinks, La Commune, Comba. And I really like Comba because it is owned by a woman and it's all women bartenders. So all girl power.
Cute. Yes,
girl power. Mm-hmm.
You know, Paris is not known for its dive bar culture, I guess. But do you have a favorite dive bar or a place for best drunk food after the fact?
Best drunk food is definitely either a crepe on, you know, from one of the street stands or one of those, or kebab. It's been plenty of times I've had a kebab at 1-2 in the morning and it has literally saved my life for the next day. That is how I'm able to function. And a kebab is just that sliced lamb that's on, like, you can get it in a pita roll or like a wrap. And if you get it in certain neighborhoods, they'll put the french fries inside of it and they wrap it up and then give you french fries too. On the side, it's that lettuce and tomato. You can get onion. Depends on who you need to talk to that night. You can get onion because they're raw onions. It's not cooked or grilled onions. You get that, the fries, and you good. Drink some water, and you wake up the next day, like, ready to go.
And your favorite place for, say, what about open-air markets? Is there a culture in Paris for open-air markets?
Oh, my God. That is literally the culture. Like, that's what you do. You just go to open-air markets. I am still trying to figure those out. I don't have a favorite yet. I just try a lot of them. And the ones that I would go to most often would be the ones that I lived close to. But, yeah, that's how they shop here, open-air markets.
Perfect.
And that's how you get the freshest of the fresh. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have a favorite place to shop for food that's outside of the open air markets?
I like going to the grocery stores in the suburbs because they remind me of grocery stores in America because they're big and they have like a lot of stuff. And by big, I mean the grocery stores in the city are like the size of corner stores in America or like a drugstore in America. It's like small like that. And you're only going in there for like a couple of things. But if I make a plan and, you know, take the bus or the train and go just a little bit outside the city, we're talking a big grocery store. I got to take my cart. Like, I have a pool cart, like a grandma, and I take my cart and fill it up with stuff and then come on back. Because when you go to the regular market, like, people have their carts out there, but I mean, it's just me. So I'm only buying but so much fresh stuff because I'm not going to eat it fast enough. So, because that stuff going bad 2-3 days. If I haven't eaten all those vegetables by then, which I rarely have, like, it's going bad. That's how I knew that the stuff we eat in America, like, y'all, they're putting something on it, in it, whatever. Because stuff here, when I first moved here, like, I had to throw so much stuff away because it was going bad so fast. I was like, this is not real life. But it was. It was real life. And I was throwing away whole heads of lettuce because they were turning yellow. I'm like, I literally bought this 2 days ago. This is ridiculous.
What about local designers? Do you have a favorite local designer?
That I don't. I haven't done a lot of local designer shopping here, or just shopping outside of department stores or just some of the stores here. What is really big here, though, that I've kind of gotten into, because since everybody's on this big thing about waste and fast fashion and how much clothing we throw away and things like that, and you try to donate it to different places and they don't want to take all those clothes because they don't have enough people to give them to. And so it's in the landfill. It's hard to break them down. Clothing swaps are a really big thing here. So if it's clothes that you don't necessarily want, or they don't fit you anymore for whatever reason, I mean, please have them in good condition and like clean. It'll be a friend or a friend of a friend who say, hey, I'm having a swap, come over. And so people just bring their clothes there, and then we sit them out on the bed or put them up on hangers, and then we just go through, grab what we want, what works, compliment each other. Oh, girl, that looks good. Oh, no, that might not be the one for you. Oh, girl, you should take that. Oh, that scarf will go with this, and, you know, help people match up their stuff. You know, and now you have new to you clothes, and you didn't have to spend a whole bunch of money, and you're not wasting anything.
Right. Real cute.
Yeah.
Real cute.
If I go shopping, it's because I need something specific. Like, I need to wear, like for Dinéon Blanc, that was a few months ago, I needed a white dress. So I had to go buy one of those. But other than that, I mean, I don't know who this person is that I have become, because I used to be the one, like, I have to be in the latest fashion. What did InStyle magazine say? I have to buy that. Now I'm like, is this clean? Does it fit? And my clothes are now much more classic and not fast fashion per se.
Do you have any hidden gems or favorite sort of local hotspots or neighborhoods that you really like?
I think a very underrated, hip, kind of up-and-coming neighborhood is the 17th. It's the Batignol neighborhood, and cute, it's hip. Bunch of restaurants, bars. I'm starting to find out what they are and where they are. That's my goal from now to the end of the year. So I can't give you any hot spots there yet. It's a Martin Luther King Park here in this neighborhood. And then right outside the park is a restaurant, Coretta. I think that's pretty cool. So, and kind of a hidden gem because it's almost at the edge of the city. And when you get in the park and you see the other buildings that are around it and you kind of look at the park, you don't necessarily feel like you're in Paris anymore. You can feel like you're in like a metropolitan, like American city, which is kind of cool for a moment. But the park is beautiful. Waterfalls, it's water in there. It's places to sit. It's a skateboard park in there, like a playground for the kids. Or you can just put your blanket out and sit down and have a sip of wine and enjoy your life. Watch the people walk by.
Okay, so
yeah. Montmartre.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Montmartre in the 18th, I like that neighborhood too, but that's not so hidden anymore. Like, people kind of know about that, and they go up to the top, walk around the little streets and things like that. So that's not as hidden anymore.
So what would you say is the best time to visit?
I would say it's best to visit probably mid-September, to maybe like early December. It gets cold here, but not like freezing cold during that time period. Christmas, things close for Christmas, and decorations aren't, they don't really do Christmas up like that. That's more of an American thing, or maybe some other countries. Or if you really want Christmas, go to Alsace, France for their Christmas market. But Paris doesn't really do it up like that. I'd say come back to Paris maybe like March when it isn't completely cold, and then before the tourists come in. So you have March and like half of April, you can come and it's okay. May, now you're in the tourist season and it's expensive to get here. It's expensive to stay here.
What about museum culture? Like, do you have a favorite museum or gallery that you like to frequent or that you've been to?
I won't say I have a favorite one that I like to frequent. I've never been a museum person. There are museums I go to because there is a certain exhibit or something that I'm interested in seeing. I will give a museum that I was surprised by. And I went because the first Sunday of every month, there are several museums that are free. So I went to the Museum of Architecture and Design. That one really surprised me. I was like blown away by some of the things they had in there. Since it was in, since it's France, a lot of it had to do with churches, because that was the early thing they did. And then they went into regular buildings, government buildings, and then housing, and then how they modernized housing. But that building, that museum kind of blew me away. That one was very surprising, because I went in with no expectations. I was just like, it's Sunday, it's free, let's do something. And okay. There we were. And it's right outside the Eiffel Tower. So from inside, you can get a couple good pictures of the Eiffel.
And what about events? Like, what are some events, some happenings that are going on? And what's the best way to get tickets for, say, events that are happening?
Oh, my goodness. It is always something happening here. And the cool thing is there is always or often free things happening. Like this weekend, like soon they have what's called a Journée du Patrimoine, which is where the government buildings and other like historical interesting places will open up their doors for free. And so people can go visit. So like the Senate building, the Assemblée Nationale, which is like where that's kind of more like not senators, but like representatives, like that's where they are. The Ministry of Agriculture, the train station, like the main, their office building, they'll open that up. Crazy Horse, they're having a couple of shows. Radio France. So a lot of different things like that. They're opening their doors up so you can go and visit those.
And what would you say are the best way to get tickets to the shows?
So for Crazy Horse, they have their website. It's crazyhorseparis.com. The best way to be informed of what's going on is this website, Sortir à Paris. It's in French and English, so make sure you hit the English button if that's what you need. Time Out Paris is a good way to know what's happening, what's going on. It'll give you the rundown of what's going on that week, what's popping for the weekend, how much it costs. I have links and things like that. And then read the paper. If they have a little paper that comes in the metro every morning, so you can just grab that paper and see what's going on.
Okay, so what would you say is a great day trip from the city?
There are a few. Of course, my pick of day trips is to Champaign, that you can take a train to come in Champaign, and that's only 45 minutes. So that can happen. You can go, Versailles is a nice day trip, and you just need your Navigo pass. If you have just a Metro pass, you can go to Versailles on that. If you take a more formal tour, you can go to Normandy. But Provence is another city that it's a medieval city and still has kind of the walls built around it. You can go there on your Metro pass. Where Van Gogh was before he died, and also where he's buried, is in Auvers-sur-Oise, and they have an absinthe museum there that you can do that in a day and use your metro pass for that. There are some places in the Loire Valley, Orléans, and it's a cool little chateau there that you can visit.
Speaking of which, so your tours, tell me, mm-hmm. Give me a bit of a rundown about your tours to Champaign.
Okay, so the tour to Champaign, I work with a driver. And so the driver picks you up at your hotel, Airbnb, whatever the case may be. If you want coffee, we'll stop and get a coffee. On the way there, I point out some things about Champagne in general. The grapes, a little bit about the soil, a little bit about winemaking techniques. I don't go too much in depth into that because our first stop is usually a tour and a tasting. And I don't want to say something that they're going to repeat once we get there. I like to go to three places, a large house and then two smaller houses, or I'll go to a large house and then we'll do a wine and cheese tasting and then a smaller house. Also, we will visit one historical or one tourist site, depending on where we are, if we're in Epernay or Chouilly or Hain. we'll go to see where Dom Perignon was buried. We may go to the cathedral in, but yeah, we do that. We stop for lunch because you can do all of this, drink all of the champagne and not have some sustenance. And then we come back. Usually we'll start out about maybe 8:30 a.m. and we head back about 6-ish.
Nice. Sounds great. Mm-hmm. Let's say you have a visitor. What's a, where are we going? Let's say I come to visit. Where are we going? What are we doing for the weekend?
We're definitely going to an open air market, whether it's for food or antique. And sometimes that's just cool just to see. We are absolutely going to a cocktail bar and then a wine bar. And like a nice dinner.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, we're having fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what would you say is a faux pas that a visitor should avoid?
Putting your wallet in your back pocket. Like, I just, pickpocketing here is so real. So I really want visitors to be very conscious of that. It happens too often. I know too many people that have come here and been pickpocketed, and it's so sad because, I mean, you're having a good trip, you're enjoying yourself, and then somebody bumps into you and you look down and, you know, your wallet is gone. So that's kind of something. Just being conscious of it. Because as a tourist, you can get real caught up in looking at all the pretty things and looking around and taking pictures with your phone that you're not as conscious of your surroundings as you should.
So, Tanisha, we're at the part where you let listeners know where they can find more about you and Girl Meets Glass and perhaps book a tour.
Sure. I am everywhere you are. I am girlmeetsglass.com. I am Girl Meets Glass on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And email Tanisha@girlmeetsglass.com.
Well, Tanisha, thanks so much. I really appreciate you spending some time with me today. We're in touch now, so I look forward to continuing
thank
that.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for tuning in today. I hope you found this local's perspective informative and even inspiring. If so, please consider subscribing to Loco using iTunes or your favorite Android podcast player. If you have any comments or questions or even a story you'd like to submit, please connect with us at loco.co, that's L-O-C-A-U-X.co. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.